What a wonderful song that was, huh? Thy word. I'm thankful for the word of God, that it will not return void. I'm thankful for that in the future as I preach God's word, that as if I'm giving God's word, he's gonna bless it. So now we're going to dismiss the children to junior church. Go ahead and go down to junior church. Ages, what, second, right? Someone help me. The third? Third on down. You can go down to junior church. Go ahead, Eddie. All right. Well, this is a special day for me and my wife and our family, and I thought it only appropriate that my dad come and give us the word, the message today. He pastors the church up in New Lisbon, First Baptist Church in New Lisbon. He's been there for 16 years, 17 years. And so I wanted him to come and bring the message to us, to myself, bring a charge to me, and also to you guys as well. And so, Dad, would you come forward and bring God's word?
Amen.
Well, hopefully I get through this and I don't start bawling like a baby. I've already started bawling already. But don't you say nothing, Randy. Randy Dunford's back there. Don't listen to anything he says to you, okay? We grew up together, and I've used a few of our illustrations in our church. I won't do that today because Randy's here. But what a blessing it is to be here. And, you know, I've only got to recently know Pastor Coots, and, you know, what a testimony of 28 years of serving the Lord here at Utica and at Bible Baptist Church. And, you know, that, first of all, that says something to the testimony of this church. It tells me that you know how to take care of your pastor, and I appreciate that. But it also, more than that, it tells me of a testimony of this man. I appreciate him. Appreciate getting to know him a little bit the last few months. And I just appreciate his heart, and he's a blessing. And I know he's been a real encouragement and a blessing to my son as well. And I so much appreciate that, brother. It is a privilege to be able to speak here today at the installation service of my son as pastor of this church. And when Paul came to me and he said, Dad, would you mind speaking at my installation service? And I thought to myself, well, buddy, if you wouldn't have asked me, I would have been a little bit disappointed. And as he mentioned, I've been in New Lisbon for 17 years. I was a couple years as assistant and a senior pastor now for the last 15 years. And just a blessing to be there and serve. And we have a tremendous church there, and appreciate our folks that came here today, as some of them actually traveled down. And you know, as I thought about what I was going to preach, I was kind of not 100% sure for a while. And then a couple weeks ago, Randy Kibler, who's here, he teaches a Sunday school class, one of our Sunday school classes. We have small group Sunday school classes, so we have, well, let's see, we have 6 adult classes, I guess. And Randy teaches one of those classes. And he was going to be gone, and he said, Pastor, would you teach my class? And so I taught his class. And in our Sunday school classes for the adults, we're going through the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah has really impacted. I've thought about if any book of the Bible that's impacted my life more as a pastor, it's been the book of Nehemiah. You think of Nehemiah and you think, well, the, you know, here is a cupbearer who's going to build a wall. And how does that impact our life? Well, you know, God used Nehemiah to rebuild the wall there around Jerusalem, some of Jerusalem as well. And if you recall, Zerubbabel and Ezra were granted permission to build the temple. But Nehemiah is given official permission to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem by King Artaxerxes there. And in those days, when you think about that, a city could not survive without the walls. Because without the walls around the city, it would leave them wide open for attack from their enemies. When Nehemiah began to rebuild the walls, there immediately was opposition from those who did not want to see God's people prosper. You know, when God's work is being done, the enemy's not happy. Satan doesn't like that. There will always be those out there who will try to hinder the work of God. And a spiritual leader, who Nehemiah is an example of that, a spiritual leader knows that there's going to be opposition. And then, from knowing that, wisely learns to develop strategies for handling opposition. And that is exactly what Nehemiah did. We're going to read Nehemiah chapter 4. Take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah 4. And the entire book of Nehemiah is an awesome book. If you've never really studied the book of Nehemiah, I urge you to study that. And this is a book that will give us some good principles to live our life by and to learn how to handle opposition when it comes in our life. Nehemiah chapter 4, it says in verse 1, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and he took great indignation, and he mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria, and he said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." But look what Nehemiah does here. Verse 4, Nehemiah prays. He says, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. And they conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and we set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, unto the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible or awesome. And fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned, all of us, to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the havergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens, with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separate upon the wall, one far from another. In what place thereof? Therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, and our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which follow me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing. Father, we come before you. We pray our hearts are receptive. Lord, I just pray, as we think about the work, we think about the wall that Nehemiah was commissioned to build, allowed to build here, we think about the work that of Bible Baptist Church of Utica, as we think about the work of the ministry that goes forward, I pray, Lord, that we would see some of these things from this passage of Scripture that we can apply to our own hearts and our own lives. And Lord, that it would be a challenge to me, a challenge to Paul, and a challenge to those that are here. We thank you so much for your word. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Father, we know your word does. Thank you so much for it, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as often typical of the devil, when the Lord's work began, opposition came. But Nehemiah was a man of prayer. He totally depended on the Lord's help to accomplish the work. And the first piece of advice to you, Pastor Paul, my son, and to the church here, Bible Baptist Church here, is to pray. Pray for the work. You know, when opposition came, Nehemiah turned to the only resource that he had. Amen. That was the Lord. You know, it says there in verse 4, hear, O our God. It says in verse 5, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out. Verse 9, nevertheless we made our prayer unto our God. Amen. You know, far too often, the problem that we have today in churches is there's too much work being done that's not prayed about. Amen. Too much work that gets done without prayers. And when opposition came, instead of getting discouraged and just quitting, he turns to the same source that we have today. He turns to the Lord in prayer. Now, Pastor Paul, is there going to be times when there's going to be opposition in your ministry? Yes. But pray. Pray about it. Are there going to be times when you think, well, I don't know if I can handle this anymore, I'm just going to quit? Yeah. But pray about it. Amen. Pray about it. And that is what happens. And here he prays. He says, "Hear, O our Lord, for we are despised."
Amen.
First, he's asking God for help. He's telling him the problem. He's saying, "Hey, God, we're despised. They're making fun of us. They're looking at us and they're ridiculing us. We're being laughed at." And what was it doing? It was affecting the morale of the workers. So he takes it to the Lord.
Amen.
He said, "Lord, we're despised." And he's asking him to do something about it. But then he goes on in verse 5 and he asks him to deal with those who were causing the opposition. He says, "Turn their reproach upon their own head and give them a prey in the land of captivity." In other words, he says, "Make them captive even as we were captives."
Amen.
And the lesson here is to take our problems to the Lord.
Amen.
Ask him to deal with our problem. You know, he can do a lot better dealing with our problems than we can ever do. And when Nehemiah faced this difficult situation, a problem that took place, what did he do? He took it to the master of handling problems. He took it to the Lord. And if you want to accomplish anything for the Lord, you need to go to the Lord. You need to go to the Lord. You need to pray. After praying, he then led the people to work with a greater determination. You know, some Christians pray and they wait for the Lord to do something. They wait for things to happen. And you know what happens? They never get anything done for the Lord. But once he gave it unto the Lord, did he just stop? No. He trusted the Lord to help him achieve his goal. His drive, his determination affected everyone positively. And this serves to motivate us today. I mean, verse 6, it says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together into half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Pastor Paul, your drive and your determination for the work will make a difference in this body of believers. So when opposition comes, and by the way, it will. When opposition comes, pray and continue on with the work. Because ministry is only as good as the prayers behind the ministry.
Amen.
So number one, pray for the work. Number two, watch for outside attackers. It says in verse 9, after he says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God," he says, "and set a watch against them day and night because of them." You know, as the various enemies of God's people heard about the progress of the walls, they didn't like it. And it was almost as if they conspired. It says in verse 8, they conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem. There was a gang up on mentality here. They were outspoken. There are going to be those out there that are going to be outspoken about the work that the Lord's doing at Bible Baptist Church in Utica. There's going to be people out there that don't like it. And what happened here is they publicly ridiculed them for what they were doing. I mean, Sanballat mocked them, calling them feeble. People of the world don't understand that God loves to use feeble people.
Amen.
Amen? God loves using feeble people. Tobiah even said that whatever they did, it wouldn't hold up anyway. He said even a fox crawling up would knock it down. You know, sometimes we'll have opposition by ridicule. Sometimes the ridicule is trying to discourage us, but there's other means as well. But the second piece of advice, Pastor Paul, is be on guard and watch for outside attackers. They will be there. Nehemiah set watch day and night because of the outside opposition. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be serious. That's what it means. Be sober, be serious, be vigilant, be alert, be on guard. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So number one, pray for the work. Number two, watch out for outside attacks. Number three, watch out for inside attacks. Verse 10. That's right. Verse 10. And Judas said, this Judas on the inside. Okay. And Judas said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. See, pressures from the outside often cause problems on the inside. And because of this outside threat, Nehemiah wisely set a guard around the city. But what happened? It increased the responsibility of the people who were already overworked. And they grew physically and emotionally weary, and they begin to lose their focus. In verse 10 it says, Judah said, we're not able to build the walls. Verse 11, their adversaries then begin to scheme how they were going to slip in undetected, because it says they shall not know. So cleaning up the rubbish from the destruction of the Babylonians years earlier, trying to build the wall, and having to do double duty because they had to watch for outside attacks, just got to be a little too much. Sometimes ministry can be more than we anticipate. It can. It can be more than we thought it was going to be. And we have to be careful of those who, like Judas says, it just can't be done. Those who from within want to hinder the ministry for some reason or other. Discouragement is one of the most common weapons that is used in the arsenal of Satan. Be careful not to focus on the pressures instead of the God of the impossible. He's the God of the impossible. He can do great things. Remember, conflict within does a lot more damage than the conflict when without. You think about it. When there's conflict on the outside, when opposition comes from the outside, what happens to the church? They come together. They band together to deal with the opposition on the outside. But what happens when there's conflict on the inside? We spread apart. There's division. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to deal with the opposition out there than it is the opposition in here. Amen. So make sure immediately it's dealt with, because it spreads like a cancer. Beware of those who will hinder the work on the inside. Number four is bear one another's burdens. Look at verse 17. And they which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands brought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. You know, as they continued here to do their work, they were more cautious. Half work while the other half were on guard. But here we see even families were working together, being on guard with their tools in one hand and their weapons in the other hand. Amen. This church is your family. Amen. Church is our family. Amen. We are part of a family. And this church is your family. And if you're ever going to accomplish the work of the Lord, this family has to work together. Amen. Have to work together. Bearing one another's burdens. You see that in the beginning of the first church there in Acts. They shared things in common. They bore one another's burdens. They didn't get so wrapped up in the things of the world that they weren't able to do and help the people that were here in this church, in their church. You know, we live in a world that there's all kinds of things out there that can take and distract us. Don't let distractions get so much on your plate that you're not able to help in doing the work of the Lord, helping your family together. The enemy out there, you know what the enemy needs to see? He needs to see that you're united together. That you're bearing one another's burdens. And when Nehemiah posted guards, the enemy knew they're prepared. They're prepared for us. The world needs to see that we're going to be there for one another. Amen. If you attack one of us, you attack us all. Amen. The world needs to see that. And he armed here entire families, knowing that they would stand together and they would fight together. They would encourage one another. They would bear each other's burdens. And he then encouraged them not to fear, because the Lord was on their side. You know, in verse 14, he says, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Verse 20, he says, our God shall fight for us. Pastor Paul, it's important that you continually remind these people that the Lord is on their side. Amen. Folks, if we fear the Lord, you know what? We don't have to fear the enemy. Amen. If we fear the Lord, we don't have to fear the enemy. And let us not only bear one another's burdens, but let us take them to the great burden bearer. Take them to the Lord. And if we're going to accomplish the Lord's work, we have to lift one another up. We have to encourage one another and not shoot one of our own wounded, which happens a lot in Baptist churches. So pray for the work. Watch out for outside attackers. Watch out for the inside attackers. Bear one another's burdens. But number five, keep in the word. Amen. Keep in the word. Verse 18, for the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. Nehemiah instructed his people here to keep their weapons by their side. Keep your weapons close at hand. And if we're going to see the work of the Lord done, then we need to keep our weapon close at hand. Amen. Our weapon is the word of God. It says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. This is the weapon that God has given us to fight off the opposition. This is the weapon that God has given us to help us to grow as a church, to to be able to be that light in this dark world that we live in today. Pastor Paul, make sure that everything that you do here in this church lines up with this book.
Amen.
Instruct them not in the latest trend or the newest how-to theory that you hear out there, but instruct them in this book, the Word of God. Because it's this book that matters.
Amen.
It's not about what the world thinks. It's not about the newest fads or the newest ideas out there.
Amen.
It's what the Bible says. It's what God says. Instruct them. And church, be like the Bereans, and where it says they receive the word with readiness of mind and they search the scriptures daily.
Amen.
Far too many people get involved in ministry in the church who do not even keep in the word. They're not even in the word. God directs us. God guides us through the word. The word, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path.
Amen.
Keep our weapon at hand. One way to keep your weapon at hand is memorization.
Amen.
Memorizing what the Bible says.
Amen.
Know what it says. Memorizing scripture. And Pastor Paul, I urge you to have available ministries which you by yourself and the church can memorize scriptures.
Amen.
Scripture memorization should not just be for the little ones. We need it. We need it ourselves. And Nehemiah knew that if the work was going to go on, if it was going to continue, praise God for Pastor Coots and 28 years doing the work and to continue the work that Pastor Coots has been doing here in this church and leading and directing and you folks here and doing the work. If it's going to continue, you got to have your weapons in your hand.
Amen.
You got to keep your weapons in your hand. And then lastly, stay dedicated to the work. Verse 21, so we labored in the work. We labored in the work, and half of them held their spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. From sun up to sundown, they worked. Likewise, verse 22, likewise at the same time said I to the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be guard to us and labor on the day.
Amen.
They worked diligently to finish the work that God had called them to do.
Amen.
They were determined to see the job completed. You mentioned beginning how this book of Nehemiah has been such an encouragement to me, has been a blessing to me. I remember 9 years ago we had a situation in our church and I was ready to quit. I was ready to leave. And I stopped and that day I was on my way. We had a deacon meeting that night. And that night I was going to tell the deacons, I'm going to resign. Because of some issues that were going on. And I remember that day I had to go down to Watertown. Marty Marriott was being installed as a new president at Maranatha. And I was already promised that I would be there for that installation service. I didn't feel like going to no installation service that day. but I had already said I would go. And so on my way, I stopped to see a man in our church who was a godly man and a man that I looked up to, I respected very much. He was in his 90s. His name was Irv. And Brother Irv, I stopped to see Brother Irv. I wanted to talk to him. And I stopped there and I told Brother Irv that I was going to resign. And right away he says, oh, Pastor, no, that's not what God wants. And We prayed together, and I still, you know, wasn't sure I was praying. And well, I got down to Watertown. I went to the installation service, and the preacher was Doug Jackson, a good friend of Marty Marriott's. He's on the ward there at Maranatha. Doug got up there, and he preached out of Nehemiah. And he preached out of chapter 6. Not chapter 4, but he preached out of chapter 6. Of course, Nehemiah was at the point he was ready to give up and all the different things from the attacks within, from the attacks without. I mean, all the different things that were going on. Nehemiah was to quit. But the Lord says, hey, you know what? Lift up holy hands, number one. Don't quit, number two. This was his outline. And the third thing was, finish the work I've called you to do.
Amen.
And it was like, whoa, that was right to me. I remember coming home. That was a different drive from Watertown to New Lisbon. It was the drive down there. I don't even know what was going on. I was bawling my eyes out. Didn't know what I was going to do. Didn't know, you know. I talked to Irv, but I was unsure what was going to happen. But the ride back, it was almost as though a burden was lifted off.
Amen.
And of course, we were going through a lot of bad meetings. I mean, meetings where we had people coming in, and I think I praise the Lord for my deacons because they were there. We met at least twice, maybe three times a week during that time with different people that was having problems or issues. And I remember that night. It was a Thursday night. I remember coming back, and I said, "Well, this is. I had a good day." And I remember everybody looking like, is he crazy? A good day? How can this be a good day? What we're going through? And I shared to them, and I apologized because I told them I was ready to resign. But you know what? I was selfishly looking at how this was affecting me. I was looking at the whole situation as, how's it affecting me? And really, it's not about me.
Amen.
It's about the Lord. How's it going to affect the Lord?
Amen.
How's it going to affect the church? How's it going to affect the testimony of God's people? You know, they continue to work here. They were determined to finish the work that they were called to do, to see the job completed. And in order to accomplish the work, there had to be dedicated people. You know, I tell my church, I say, you know, it takes nothing to think of something, to think of an idea or get an idea of a ministry. And it takes nothing to think about it and maybe start it, but it takes a lot of dedicated people to continue it on. And that's really what was going on here. Nehemiah had a lot of dedicated people, and he turned them into dedicated people. And a good leader grooms others to lead. And they in turn groom others to lead, so they end up with an army of dedicated people. Dedication always puts God first. You know, former Green Bay Packers coach Vince Lombardi had it right when he said, God first,
amen,
family second, and the Green Bay Packers third.
Amen.
You know, is the Lord's work a priority, or is it something that we just plan on getting around to if it fits in our busy schedules? And being dedicated is a challenge to other people. You know, when you are dedicated, other people become dedicated. It's one of those things that's catchy. It catches. Wow, I see how busy they are and how dedicated they are. Hey, I want to do that. You know what the Bible calls that? Exhortation. Exhortation. What is exhortation? Encourage to do right. And if you're dedicated, you're encouraging others to be dedicated.
Amen.
As well to the Lord. Our labors are not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be as steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And the end result, we see in chapter 6, verse 15, "So the wall was finished in 52 days. 52 days. I mean, think about that. This wall, who everybody kind of said, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they can build it. This wall was done in 52 days around the city of Jerusalem. I don't even know if the people today could build a wall like that with the equipment they have in 52 days. No, they have to have three people watching the guy who's holding the shovel. So pray for the work. Pray for the work. I urge you, I beg you, pray for the work. Pastor Paul, pray for the ministry. Pray for the people that are working in your church. Pray for those, encourage those. Pray, go and take it to the Lord. Watch out for outsiders that will attack you. Watch out for the inside attacks as well. Bear one another's burdens. Keep in the word, and then be dedicated to this work. And you know what? You and this church will accomplish great things, as it already has been, but you'll continue to accomplish great things for the cause of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, thank you so much for your word. Your word is what matters. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to bless and guide and direct in this church. Pray for Pastor Paul and Katie and their family as they are here serving and working alongside these believers. Thank you so much for a great church. Thank you for Pastor Coots, his wife Ann, and Lord, the many years they served here. Thank you for them. I pray that you'll just continue to do a mighty work. Father, we'll give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, after hearing that challenge, now I want to preach.
Let's hear it.
Well, Paul and Katie, I do want to say that you two are an answer to prayer.
Amen.
It was a number of years ago that, you know, I began to share with the church that, you know, my time was going to come to a close and that time would come. And so the praying began. Let me just add, too, a difference in having a pastor at my age and Paul's age. Yesterday, my wife and I were riding in the car, and we were just talking, and I said, "Yeah, Paul and Katie are going to sing tomorrow." And then she said, "Well, we were supposed to sing last week." And I said, "Yeah, I know, I've forgotten." And my wife said, "I forgot too." And then I said, "What were we going to sing?" And we both said, "We forgot." So that's one of the many differences of having a pastor my age and Paul's age. But Paul, you are, and Katie, you are an answer to prayer. I began, you know, doing my looking and researching and calling, and I know it wasn't my responsibility to find somebody to replace me when that time would come, but I still, as pastor, you want to try to help if you can. And we, you know, I know and I knew that it's the local church's decision in the end, but I did some checking and some calling and some talking with different people that I knew, and so I got some feedback. Some friends would let me know about different people, and I had one pastor, very good pastor friend, and he said, "Well, I know one person, and he'd be interested probably, but he only wants to be in Wisconsin for 2 years." Well, that's, I don't think that's really the route we want to go. But the next shepherd is only going to be in the area for 2 years, and then he was going to move on. And then I got a call from another individual, and very reputable, and he had a lot of contacts, and he said, there's this man that I know, he's looking for a church, and he said, why don't you just meet with him? And so I met with him. I had lunch with the man, and a good godly man, but I could tell pretty quick into the time together that he really kind of wanted to come with a whip. And that's not what the flock, that's not what the sheep need. They don't need somebody coming in with a whip. And there came that point in time when I had some resumes and some names and saw Paul's name there and gave him a call. And I don't know how long we talked, 60, 70 minutes. I think it was a little over an hour. But I got the phone. I said to my wife, I said, that was really refreshing. I said, I was really encouraged. And I said, I was really blessed. And so the contact was made, and you know, the Lord did the rest.
Amen.
And we are thankful. I'm thankful, and we are thankful. And it's, you know, our responsibility as a church to support Paul and get to know Paul and love Paul and pray for Paul. And like anybody else, he's there was only one perfect man who ever walked the earth, right?
Amen.
And grow together. You know, that's kind of what happened when I showed up here. We grew together as a church, didn't we?
Amen.
And we became a family.
That's right.
Amen. And I'm thankful for Paul's background, his family, his upbringing. You know, he's got a dad who's a pastor. He's got a brother-in-law who's a pastor. He's got family support, and that's wonderful. I got saved at 26 out of a beer-drinking Lutheran background. So you people became my family.
Amen.
And
right.
We stubbed our toes. But you just keep going. A lot of what your dad was saying, Paul, kind of reminded me of our talk about the advice I got years ago from the old pastor. Keep the train moving. You got to just keep the train moving. You know, there's going to be bumps in the road, and there's going to be people getting on the train, people getting off the train. But in the meantime, just keep the train moving.
That's right.
And be faithful. And Katie, you have a big part in just supporting your husband, praying for your husband, encouraging your husband. I said after.
We'll start bawling.
I thought it was done last week.
Amen.
Yeah. Yesterday morning, I woke up as the former pastor, and Paul woke up as the pastor. Amen. So, Katie, you have a big part. Just in encouraging Paul. In case you didn't know it, us men have kind of fragile egos. So you'll be a big help.
Amen.
I said to some of my kids last week, your mama was never like Job's wife. She never said, curse God and die. So Katie, you have a huge part. And Paul, you know, it's my prayer that you just go way beyond anything that I ever could have imagined or done, because it was never me anyway. It was always the Lord and
Amen.
The Lord's people. And we are, you know, Utica's always been a family.
Yeah.
It's always been a special place. but a special spirit. Thank you, young man. He just went to his 60th high school graduation get-together last week.
Praise the Lord!
Huh? And he said he went there and saw a whole bunch of old people. So, good Marvin, great friend.
Amen.
So, if you two could come up here at this time, Paul and Katie, and in a few moments we're going to have a time of prayers at church, but first of all, just come up, and I'd like to present, first of all, this certificate of ordination. This is not only installation Sunday, but it's the official time of the recognition of Paul's ordination into the pastoral ministry. Our ordination council did meet with Paul a number of weeks ago. It's had a great time. It was a real blessing to get together. And so this is the certificate that was made out for Paul to recognize his ordination into the gospel ministry. So I'd like to present that to Paul. And let's go ahead and give him a round of applause. We can do that. Then at this time, we are going to go ahead and prepare for the time of the prayer of dedication to Paul and Katie. And so all of the men who are part of that ordination council and any pastors here at this time, we want to invite you to come up. And Paul and Katie are going to be here, and we're going to gather around, and we're going to lay hands upon them, and we're going to pray for them. And so as God leads you in your prayer, this is our time of dedication. This really is an important time, isn't it?
Amen.
A special time for the Bible Baptist Church of Utica. Paul, do you have everybody up here you'd like to be up here at times? At this time, anybody else? Let's get close and gather around, and let's just put our hands upon them and pray for them at this time. And a couple of you guys can grab a hold of that chair if you need to and help out that way. Or, and if nothing else, we'll hold each other up. How's that, guys? We'll all do this together. So I'm going to open, and we'll just go right around. And when we get to the last man, Kim or Matt, either one of you, we'll close in prayer. And please pray with us at this time as we look to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, what a special time this is as we come. And Lord, we thank you for your servants. We thank you, Lord, for Paul and Katie. Lord, I pray that Paul would seek your face in every aspect of ministry. I pray that he would have Solomon's prayer, that he would want wisdom, that he would desire wisdom.
Yes, Lord.
Father, that he would stay close to the Word and the teachings of the Word, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that he would find the joy of the Lord in his ministry.
Yes, Father.
Lord, you have so deemed that the joy of the Lord should be our strength.
Yeah.
And may we not overlook that. Lord, you are good. And Father, your people are a blessing. And may Paul find that to be true. So we come this day at this time, and Lord, we ask for your special blessing, your protection, your guidance and wisdom upon them and their children. And we thank you, Father, in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Father, we thank you for just the opportunity to be here today. Lord, I thank you for this church. Mm. Lord, I thank you for its testimony in this community.
Yes.
And the work that you have called them to do for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. To a lost and dying world. Lord, I thank you that you brought Paul and Katie to this place.
Yes,
Lord, to continue that work in leading. Lord, you tell us in your word that the pastor is a gift. He's a gift to the church for the work of the ministry. Lord, and we just ask that you would bless Paul, Lord, in his leadership, that he would remain humble and that he would depend upon you.
Amen.
Lord, that he would make much of Christ and that this church would make much of Christ, would make much of your word.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I pray that you would protect him and that you would provide for him. And Lord, and that you would use him to shine the light of Jesus Lord, every day that he is pastor of this church, Lord, that he be found faithful. Mm. And Lord, we just pray that you'd be with Katie and Addie and Bradley, Lord, that you would bless Paul's family in this place. Lord, that you would protect them and provide for them. Lord, that you would encourage them and Lord, just use them to be a blessing to this church family. Lord, that there'll be days where they'll be discouraged. Lord, there'll be days where they'll be just exhausted. Lord, that you would sustain them. And Lord, that they, in turn, together as a couple, would bless this church. Lord, that you would use them to minister to these people. Lord, that they would pray for them. Lord, that you would use Paul to teach and to preach the word of God. And Lord, that that the people would mature and grow. Lord, that we'd see people saved here.
Amen.
That we would see people mature in a walk with Jesus here, and then in turn go and reach others for Christ. Lord, that they would do that together, and that you would be honored and glorified in it all. And we ask for these things in Jesus' name.
Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. We thank you for the opportunity we have, Lord, here in this church. We thank you, Lord, for Paul and Katie and their children. Thank you for bringing them this direction. We ask, Father, for your blessing upon the ministry here at Utica.
Yes, Lord.
We ask, Lord, that you might use them greatly to lead in the work here, Father. And for Paul, that you just give him your wisdom, Father, and your guidance and direction. Just pray that you'd help him to be spirit-led and filled with your power, Lord, as he leads, as he preaches, as he teaches, Lord, that you would just help him to be a learner and a studier of your word. And just pray that you would just use him in a special way, Father. And I pray that we would see the work grow. We would see not just numerical growth, Lord, but spiritual growth, Father, in the hearts and lives of people.
Yes, Father.
And that we would just see you do a special work. And we do thank you for it. We ask for your protection upon them. As we heard in the message this morning, we know that there will be opposition, and we just pray that you would keep them faithful to you, Lord. Help them to be used in a mighty way here, Lord. And we do thank you for it. In your name we ask, amen.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for Paul and Katie, Lord. We know that nothing surprises you and that you brought Paul and Katie to us, Lord. We just ask that you would help their focus to stay on you and not just distracted by things that will come up. Lord, just help that, as it was mentioned, that train to keep moving forward, Lord, for the gospel. Lord, just
That's
pray
right.
that our main focus would be the salvation of the lost, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We just thank you for Paul's a passionate desire, Lord, to disciple ones in the last few weeks alone that we've met with, Lord. Just thank you for their willingness to serve here. Just pray, Lord, as a congregation that we would help uplift them, Lord, and help them in their journey, Lord, as we serve the community here, work on our mission field outside these doors. Just pray now as just the transition, Lord, just pray for unity. And as Pastor always says, Lord, just pray for Satan to not get a foothold in this church.
That's right.
Because he wants division. So thank you for Katie and Paul now in your name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, just continue to give you the glory and the honor this morning for the special occasion. Just thank you for Paul as brother-in-law and just the joy that it is to fellowship with him in Christ. And I thank you for Katie, my sister, and just bringing them together and then also bringing them to this church. And I just thank you for the challenge this morning from the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And I just pray that those things would be taken to heart. Mm-hmm. And that during Paul and Katie's time, you'd be reminded from time to time about that challenge. And I thank you for the ministry of the Word and the ministry of the gospel that goes forth in the church here. And we just also pray for Paul as a shepherd, that he would be concerned primarily with feeding and not from your word, God. And just thank you for the things that you've done and will do. So just love them and thank you for them and pray for them now in Jesus' name.
Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for this special day. Lord, it's a
a day when, Lord, as a father, probably the most glorious day, Lord, to see his son follow the Lord and serve you. Lord, thank you for that. Your word says, blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Father, I pray that you'll continue to bless Paul as he trusts you, and Lord, that he would never lose sight of the fact you are the one that's in control. Lord, we are the under-shepherds, and Lord, we follow you, the great shepherd.
Amen.
And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to work in Paul's heart and his life, and even as Pastor Coots said, that he would continue to grow with this church. And thank you again for this church, and Lord, the calling that you have given to Paul to come here, and Paul being here, Lord, and I pray that you'll be with him and Katie, and Lord, just help them now as they serve you here, be with this church, and just meet the needs of all these people, and just help them to do just great things as they follow you. And Lord, we thank you and praise you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we rejoice in you and praise you, Father. Mm-hmm. We rejoice in all that you are, and we thank and praise you for bringing this couple to us to minister amongst us,
yes,
to be our leaders. We thank you for your faithfulness. Sure. Father, as they minister and as Satan attacks, help them to remember that Satan's head was bruised at Calvary.
Amen.
And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. He that is in us,
that's
than
right,
he that is in the world. Father, we pray that they would be emptied of self and filled with your Holy Spirit, depending daily on the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ for victory and for ministry. And we pray your blessing upon them in, yes, Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your sustaining grace in the ministry here at Utica. We thank you for the years of ministry of the Cooches.
Yes.
And the way you guided and directed them. Mm. We pray for Paul and Katie now as they continue the work here at Utica. We thank you for the way you've guided and directed them here. And we pray that you would put your hand of protection around them,
right,
around the family. And we pray for Pastor Paul, and we pray for your wisdom that only you can give as he seeks to do your will and being the under-shepherd of this church.
Yeah.
Lord, we pray that you would just bless as this ministry goes forward. We ask your blessing upon them, upon this body of believers.
Yes.
And we'll give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Father, we just sing, great is thy faithfulness, yeah, and we thank you for your faithfulness and your mercies every day. Thank you for bringing Paul and Katie to us and their family. Father, teach us to number our days. Today, Lord, as we're installing a new pastor, and Pastor Coots is retired, Lord, teach us to number our days. Your work is eternal. Let us be faithful, Lord, where we're at. I pray that we would give support, that we would support them in prayer, in following the burden that you lay upon them, that we accomplish your work on earth,
That's
Father.
Right.
Thank you for your blessing, this time together. Thank you, Lord, for our church family here. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 At this time, we're just going to close in prayer, and I'm going to have my good friend, Pastor Dom Cardamo, come and pray, and then he's going to pray for the food as well. That way we could just get started. So go ahead and pray for it.
Amen. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm super proud of Paul and Katie. It's been wonderful to get to know them over the, well, it's been a while, 2008, so a good while out in college. But I commend the church family here. It's a blessing to come to a different state and to see that Christ is real here too.
Amen.
And God's word works. It doesn't return void. And so you're to be commended. Pastor Coots, I commend you as well for your faithfulness, and I'm just glad to be able to be a part of today, and we'll be praying for you. And so I look forward to coming again and visiting and seeing how the Lord works through the year. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll enjoy some food and fellowship in just a moment. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we've had to gather today and worship in your house among your people around God's word. Lord, I thank you for all that you have been doing here and what you will do in the future. And Lord, may we all be a part of that. And Lord, may we be found faithful. And Lord, we pray that you'd receive honor and glory for it. And Lord, we ask that you'll bless now our time of fellowship. And Lord, that you'd bless the food that has been prepared to our bodies. We thank you for it. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.